اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا محافظا مخالفا مناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك توعى وتمتعه فيها طويلا. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala accept our worship on this day, the Qabul and Hasan, and from all the sponsors of Iftar and everyone who has served and strived in whatever manner, may Allah accept from each one. There's a question, and that is using of inhalers in fast while a person is fasting, or using eye drops while he's fasting, or brushing his teeth. Well, all this is permitted if it doesn't enter the throat, and the throat is that passage from wherein the letter kha is pronounced. So for inhalers, they say that if it is of a gas form, then it's okay. If that inhaler is of a liquid form and there is something, some substance which enters the throat, then that would not be permitted. But we don't know whether it's gas or liquid, especially these inhalers used by patients who have asthma. The same thing is with eye drops. The other thing we need to pay a lot of attention to is families with young children. Now, the parents are fasting, the elder children are fasting. It shouldn't be as such that those toddlers, those small children, they are neglected while we are fasting. Their meals should be given on time, regularly, their breakfast, their lunch, their dinner. Not that because we are fasting, they also should learn to fast. No, that's a sin. That's wrong. So they should never be neglected. The time you used to give them, you give that time, the meals you gave them before the month, you give them once in a while just to train them. You can say that you can have a fast, for example, 6 hours today, 8 hours today, or a half fast today, just to train them. But never neglect them in this month. Whatever your schedule was about the feeding habits, continue with that. And the other thing is that the emails that are being circulated nowadays, and they are a lot, and they say that if you don't circulate it to further 40 people, 30 people, 50 people, what will happen, what will not happen? If you do it, a wish will be granted. If you don't do it, you will be afflicted. So there's nothing to worry. No one will be afflicted. No wish will be granted. So what do? Just delete it. And to make yourself happy, to satisfy yourself, delete it from the junk box also, so that you've done the job. And the new emails that are being circulated today, there were quite a lot, and that is about the angel that was seen in Kabul. Now, how come these cameras, they caught that angel? That is, again, another mockery of religion. We have to be careful that our faith, our belief, the aqaid that we have regarding the angels and all that, they don't become a mockery. Now, they say that an angel has been caught in one of the cameras and they show it. Looks like Casper the Friendly Ghost. So that is again another mockery of deen, that we have to be careful that promoting this stuff is not good, but it makes a mockery of ourselves and our faith and belief. So we have to be careful about all these emails that are being pumped, because angels, they are, as it was mentioned repeatedly in these last few nights, they are created with a substance which is all pure, from which the soul of a human being has been created. Now, if someone was to see angels, if he purifies himself, Quran says that إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا فَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. That if someone was pure and he was steadfast, there's nothing to worry, angels will come to him. So that is something, word of Allah, that angels can come to an individual. We don't deny that, that is the word of Allah, but not in the form that is being circulated today. That is a mockery of deen. And again, when it comes to the descending of angels, especially on Laylatul Qadr, it is on the pure heart of Imam al-Asr, Jalallahu ta'ala. Because the ayah says that تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْرُوحُ فِيهَا, that the angels descend. تَنَزَّلُ, that is, it doesn't say that نَزَّلَ, it doesn't say that it descended in the past. تَنَزَّلُ, that they descend even today. There is a continuity in it. So then they descended upon the pure heart of Rasulullah. And when it says تَنَزَّلُ today, where should they descend, where should they land? That is that heart of that Waliyullah who is the Imam of time. So the angels descend on the Imam. It was mentioned yesterday that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, He has given this soul to the humans, and that this soul, it has four forces, four soldiers, four associates. One is Aql, Shahwat, Ghadab, and Wahm is the fourth one. Aql means the intellect, Shahwat is that lust, meaning food, drink, and the desires a person has. And then Ghadab is the rage, and the fourth is Wahm, is that illusion or the misconception. Now these are the four main forces or the ministers of this kingdom, which is the soul is the ruler, kingdom is that body, the territory is the human body. Wahm, it's that illusion or that misconception. That is, the task assigned to this is to trick, to dissemble, to betray and to intrigue. That is, it wants the king, the ruler, which is the soul, that is, that aql to be obedient to Wahm. Wahm, as it is said in Urdu, Wahm or Guman, that is not. Wahm, it's that thing which misleads, which cheats, which deceives. Or to understand, now, Wahm wants aql to be obedient to it by misleading, by taking onto the wrong path, by cheating. And that way, cheats the aql and pollutes it and makes it corrupt by deceived. Now, if you look into the whole idea that we have, that is being promoted by the West, especially to deny the faith and the belief in the Day of Judgment, in Qiyamah, which Quran says that even during the time of Rasulullah, even the people of the era of Jahiliyyah, the ignorance, they wanted to deny the Day of Judgment, the Day of Qiyamah. And they used to say, Ayyana Yawmul Qiyamah, when is the Day of Judgment going to be? When they saw these bodies that have been decomposed and they have been changed to dust and earth, they said that now this body which has been decomposed, can that be resurrected again? So that means that there is no Day of Judgment, there is no Qiyamah. So when there is no Qiyamah, we can live as we want, we can do what we want. So to deny, or in other words, as Quran says, that they wanted to live a life of their own, whatever they wish they do, for that reason they said that we have to deny that Day of Judgment so that we could live as we want, as we wish. And that is seen even today. Then it was that Jahiliyyah of the olden days, and today it's that Jahiliyyah, the era of ignorance of the modern day. What they say today, they say that man, he was a monkey. So he wasn't a human from that. So it was that monkey which evolved into this human being. So when they want to degrade man from that great position which Allah has created by giving it a soul which belongs to a substance made with which the angels have been created, which is all aql and intellect, they've degraded man from that lofty and high position to this low position, saying that man was monkey, and it is this monkey. So you were a monkey, so you live as a monkey lived. So then that monkey jumped down the trees and up the trees. Now the difference is that you jump up in the air on an aeroplane, for example. So that is the only difference, they say. So when man has been degraded to that low position, they say that he lived as a monkey lives. That lust, that shahwa, that eating, that drinking, no limits, no bounds. So that is to degrade. So to deny that Day of Judgment, they came up with this ideology, that faith, that for example, the Big Bang took place and everything came into existence, or that man, he has nothing to do, there's no difference between man and a monkey. This is evolution which has brought him to this point, which is all to deny the Day of Judgment. They have come up with all these ideas. So this is what Wahm does, deceives, cheats. And again, if you see today, all these different things which used to be indecent at the point, they've been twisted, cheated, deceived in a way that they are presented in a good form. So all that thing which was bad, for example, swearing at someone is bad, but by these films and movies and this Hollywood, or for example, indecent relationships between individuals, which is all filth and bad, but by this beautiful lifestyle they have come up with, a person, when he sees that for quite a time, then for him it becomes normal. That is how things are cheated. That is how people are, the intellect is deceived. And this is something which Muawiyah also did, because he's also the same entity. He, during the time of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib, to mislead people, and he was one of those cunning characters who ever existed in the history of mankind, to cheat people, how he played with the conscience of an individual. Because people at that time, they loved Amir al-Mu'mineen so much, he wanted to plant that hatred in the hearts of the people. Now, to plant that hatred, what he does, a long-term investment, a 4-5 year investment. To every household in Kufa, he sends out a lamb, a baby lamb, and says, this is from Muawiyah, a gift to each house. So pets in those days were these lambs, these baby lambs. And children, they loved to play with these pets. And as the child grew, the love and bond, devotion between that pet and that child also, it grew. And after 3-4 years, when that attachment with those lambs and that pet was so severe and strong, he sent his men, all these bailiffs. They come to each house and they come and take away that lamb which has now grown into a goat. They say that we want that back. He says, who wants it back? Ali wants it back. So when they say that Ali wants it back, that automatically the child who had that love for that lamb has that hatred for the person who's taking it away. So that is cheating, that is deceiving, that is how this waham in a way works. So misleading. So these four forces are in an individual, so they are there, and the aql has to control it. If it is lust, it has to be moderated, it has to be controlled. If it is ghazab, that is that rage, that has to be controlled. Even that waham, once in a while, when these doubts, they erupt in an individual, these doubts are created by this waham, by this illusion, by this misconception. And all these doubts, immediately when you have something in your mind, ring someone, call someone, write to someone, and get it cleared. And if these doubts are not cleared, they become cancerous and dangerous, and would result in a person becoming kafir, as it was mentioned in Surah Yasin, and as a result of that, a person may lose his faith and his iman. So, coming back to our topic, that the human body is created with the soul, and that body, the soul, has to be purified, and it has to be purified so that that distance between the soul and the existence of Allah reduces, and that qurb and the nearness of Allah is sought. In all these worships, the fuqaha, the mujtahideen, they say that you have to have that qasd qurbat, that intention of qurbatan in Allah. That is to seek the nearness of Allah. If it's prayers, if it's fast, if it's hajj, whatever the worship is, you do it to seek the nearness of Allah, so that the distance between us and Him reduces. Among the best virtues and among the most sacred and the perfect kamalat and qualities which a person can possess, it's adala. Adalat, it means justice. So all virtues are embedded in it, in this adala. And confronting this adala, we have zulm, we have jawr, we have tyranny, we have oppression. So that is adala, confronting it, we have this jawr. Adala, it is a status in an individual that controls all the actions. Now it is, again, if you look into the whole ideology that we have, Adala, it plays a pivotal role. We say that God, we believe in Him, He has to be Adil. We believe in the concept of Ismat, which is the infallibility of Ma'asumeen, that too, in a sense, is Adalat, it's justice. Or when we talk about wisdom of Allah, that too is Adalat, that is justice. So this Adala, it helps create love, puts away quarrels and disputes, and ulama of akhlaq, they categorize this udul or this adala, udul is the plural of adala, into three groups. They say that first of all we've got this adil, which is known as akbar, we have an adil which is awsat, and we have an adil which is asghar. That adil which is akbar, it is this shari'at that we have. That is the Almighty, to protect equality among the creation, He has sent a Sharia, and this Sharia is known as Adil Akbar. And again, after that, there is an Adil who is the Awsat, or the middle Adil, or the Adil of the second caliber, says that it is that just ruler, or it is that Sharia of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And his successor, which is Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. So this is that Adil who is Awsat. The third one is that Adil which is Asghar. Says that it is this gold and silver, it's this money or this merchandise that Allah has created. And that again, He has created this Adil or this justice to implement equality among the creation of Allah. So if someone gives something, you pay him. So that way again, that equality is observed. And Quran points to these three justices, that is Akbar, Awsat, and Asghar, in the 25th verse of Surah Hadid. Says that لَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُولَنَا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَأَنْزَلْنَا مَعَهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْمِيزَانَ لِيَقُومَ النَّاسَ بِالْقِسْطِ وَأَنْزَلْنَا الْحَدِيدَ فِيهِ بَأْسٌ شَدِيدٌ وَمَنَافِعُ لِلنَّاسِ. That is, Quran says the rules of the Sharia, a scale of balance, so that mankind stay in between and do not exceed the limits, the bounds. And that the iron that Allah has created wherein is great violence and advantages to men, says this Quran, it is that Sharia which this ayah talks about. Mizan, it's that gold and silver, that is the money. And then iron, which this ayah talks about, وَأَنْزَلْنَا الْحَدِيدِ, that we have sent down this iron in which there is بَأْسٌ شَدِيدٌ, there are advantages and violence, says that that iron, the sword, it's that sword of a leader who is just, who is adil. To guide to the right path and to protect the creation from oppression and from aggression, he uses that hadith, that sword, to put things right. So these three things that Adil have been mentioned in this ayah, they exist. Confronting this Adil that we have Jabir. Jabir means oppressor. Adil is justice. Jabir is oppression, is tyranny, is oppression. And that too again, it's of three categories. As it was mentioned earlier, that these forces, the positive and negative, they go hand in hand. There is an equal and opposite reaction from each side. So, if three forces are there in the positive side, as that Adil, Akbar, Awsat, Asghar, over here again, on the Jabir side again, it's the same thing. We've got Adil, Awsat, Asghar. Says that one who exits from the ruling of the Sharia, does not follow the Sharia, that is that Jabir or that oppressor who is Adam, the greatest. That is someone who has not accepted the fundamentals of deen, that is that Jabir, that is that greatest Zalim, that greatest oppressor. The second Jabir, or that of the second grade, is someone who does not follow the just leader. That is, he has accepted, for example, the basis of the religion, but he doesn't accept the just ruler. He is again someone who is Jabir, who is a Zalim, but of that second batch. And then we've got a Zalim, a Jabir of the third, of the lower grade, and that is related to these to these money matters, for example. There might be a person who has faith in the fundamentals, who does accept the just ruler, but when it comes to these money matters, he usurps, he does them. He is treacherous in those matters, he is a traitor in it, so that he doesn't give those rights or those funds to the rightful owners as he should do, but he himself plunders and loots from that wealth. So he is a Jabir, but of that third category. So justice is that man be content with the share that Allah has provided to him, and that he doesn't oppress others, observes the rights of others to his best abilities. There is a hadith from Rasulullah. He says that there are 30 rights which every mu'min has to observe. And then he says that from these 30 rights, unless they are fulfilled by an individual, the duty of an individual has not been performed if these 30 rights are not observed. And then he says that on the Day of Judgment, he won't be forgiven if these rights are not fulfilled. Now what are they? I'll just quickly list them. He says that if a fellow mu'min has done wrong to you, and he says sorry to you, you don't forgive him, you have not observed the right. The right is that if he says sorry, forgive him. If you don't, on the Day of Judgment, you will be stopped. If he is alone, be kind to him. If you know his shortcomings and faults, cover them. And then, if there are shortcomings in that individual, overlook them. Forgive him if he asked you to forgive. If there is someone who backbites that fellow mu'min and you are present in that majlis, stop him from backbiting him. Observe his hurma, his sanctity and dignity, even behind his back. Now all this, a lesson to me first. And then says that, knows what is best for him and advises accordingly. If there is a mu'min, you know that what is best for him in his interest, advise him accordingly. And then says that maintains a healthy friendship with that mu'min. If he doesn't maintain a healthy friendship with him, he will be stopped. He will not be forgiven in the hereafter. That is to say that if these 30 rights are not observed, the end is also tough. And visits him when he is ill, attends his funeral, responds to his call when he is in need, accepts a gift that has come from him, pays him in the good way. If he has done good to him, he also does good to him, pays him back in the good way. He thanks for the blessings that have come to him through that mu'min. That is again a great blessing, a great duty that we have. If a blessing from Allah has reached me through a mu'min, I should be thankful to that person and to Allah both. That is among the rights that we have to observe. Thanks for the blessings that has reached through him, helps him, protects his wife and children, their honor, their dignity at all times, fulfills his needs, never says no to his needs, says Alhamdulillah when he sneezes. So delicate it is. And then says that helps him find his lost, whatever it is. Replies to his salam, speaks polite to him, optimistic to what he has. If he swears an oath, that fellow mu'min, you certify him, you accept what he swears. Maintains his friendship and keeps away from his enemies. That is, we maintain a friendship with him, and if there is a person who is his enemy, he's hurting him, we also keep away from his enemy. Not that we come close to him and also close to the enemy. No. Helps him whether he is a zalim or a mazloom. Now this is, again, needs some clarification. That is, we have to help that mu'min even if he is a zalim or if he is a mazloom. Zalim meaning that help him come to the right path. Now any person could be zalim. As we read in Dua Kumail that Zalam to Nafsi, that I have oppressed my own self, I've been zalim to myself. That is, the wrong that we do, it's a zulm that we afflict to ourselves. And for that, we need to be punished. Any person could be zalim. A person could be zalim on a lower level, on a higher level. Zalim doesn't mean that he comes out with a gun and starts killing people. That is a zalim of band A, for example. A zalim of a lower level could be anyone who disregards the commandments of Allah and the duties that he has to abide by. And again, he helps him when he is a mazloom, when he is afflicted. You have to help him when he is oppressed. Never defame him, leave him alone, or hand him over to the enemies. Again, this is something we have to be careful over here. When these informers, they come after us, if we know something, we don't need to. Why? You have to protect the dignity and honor of a mu'min at all times, before him, behind him. And that mu'min is a mu'min. And riwayat, they are so strong with reference to mu'mineen, says that a mu'min, his honor and his sanctity, his hurmat, is a'zamu min al-Ka'bah. It's more than the Kaaba. The Kaaba is the most sacred place for us, for the Muslims. Says one mu'min, his dignity is more than that Kaaba, which is so sacred to everyone. So we have to protect that dignity and honor of that mu'min at all times. Love for him that you love for yourself, and then hate for him all that you hate for yourself and you dislike for yourself. Among the other applicables of this adala is that to pay the rights and fulfill the will of a mu'min who has passed away, who is deceased. Pray for them, and if there is a will that has to be fulfilled, that will also fulfill it. That is again observing the rights of a mu'min, which Rasulullah lists in this hadith. And then say this adala, if a person initiates it, strengthens it in himself, that would lead to perfection and prosperity. In a hadith, Ma'asum says that adlu sa'atin khayrun min ibadati sab'een sana. That if you observe adala for just an hour, now when they say hour, it doesn't mean 60 minutes. You could say it for a while. If you observe this adala for a while, Ma'asum says that observing of adala for a while, it's better than a worship of 70 years. Now, confronting this knowledge or confronting adala, we have ignorance, jahalat. Or confronting ilm, we have jahalat, which is ignorance. And that is how to get the opposite of it, which is knowledge, on board. So we've got jahalat surrounding us everywhere. How do we push this jahala, this ignorance, away and get knowledge, which is ilm, on board? So it was mentioned the other day, there was a hadith which I quoted from the Holy Prophet. He says that is a house wherein there is a dog, angels do not descend. And it was said that house is that heart. Other riwayat say that qalbul mu'min arshur rahman, that the heart of a mu'min is the throne of Allah. Now if in this throne of Allah you want angels to descend, we will have to put away all that impurity. So if that impurity is put aside, only then will the angels descend. Only then will this heart be enlightened. So, to attract that knowledge and that ilm, we have to clean ourselves first. So that the heart has to be clean. Or it was mentioned again the other day that al-ilmu nurun yaqdhifuhu Allah fi qalbi man yasha. That ilm, it is nur. It is all light. And that light will sparkle in a heart which Allah wishes, which Allah wants and desires. Now when we say Allah wishes, it is not just out of the blue. We have to avail ourselves. We have to make the preparations so that light shines, and that light is knowledge. For that knowledge, we don't need to go to schools, universities, college, and then acquire. Not what we get from schools and colleges, that is not knowledge. Knowledge is something which Allah bestows into the heart of an individual. That is ilm. Now, to attract that ilm, this jahl has to be put away, put aside. Now, there are two demerits As it was mentioned the first day, we have fada'il, which are the merits, the values, and we have raza'il, which are the demerits or the negative qualities. There are two raza'il which derail the thinking process from regulating justly. So we have to have that adalat in us. And these, through negative qualities or demerits, they work in a way that they do not allow that knowledge to get into our soul. They regulate in a way. The thinking, first of all, is the thinking process. It's tarnished, it's attacked. And the second is ignorance. That you find that the brain is never stable. Constantly it creates doubts, gets into ultra-delicate issues which we are not asked. You may come up and say that, for example, if Imam al-Asr, if he is living today for this 1,100 odd years, how is he living, where is he living, what type of livelihood does he have? Now, we don't need to get on to all these issues. Or for example, you may have doubts regarding the existence of Allah. All these silly doubts which may come to our minds. Now, doubts should be clear. To the maximum ability of yours, as much as you can clear them, ask someone, write to someone, and then clear them. And many a time, you don't get satisfied with the answers. Now, when you don't get satisfied, you don't need to put the whole concept aside and just stick to your own silly doubts. No. There is a Hadith report in Nahj al-Balagha, Amir al-Mu'mineen says that don't go too much into these issues. For example, when it comes to the existence of Allah, don't go too much into it, because we can't understand, we can't perceive more than that. You can't put a jug of water in a small glass. You can't, because our abilities are limited, restricted. We don't understand more than that. The things which we see, it is not as such that whatever we see is whatever it's present. No, that's not the case. There are millions of things present over here we don't see. The colors which we see, it's not these seven colors which we have, the rainbow colors as they say. The colors may be many more than this. Because we are limited, we are restricted, we don't see more than seven colors. Or our hearing is restricted, are limited. Or even when it comes to breathing, we can't breathe after a certain altitude. Why? Because that body that we have, it's limited, it's restricted in every aspect. The same thing is our understanding. Whatever is logical and whatever, accept it, take it, don't go too much into detail. That going into too much of detail, that will just ruin our whole brain. But thinking power. Now these doubts are created by this waham. That it always creates all these silly doubts in an individual, which as a result, if they are not controlled by that adalat of an individual, he will end up to kufr and just repelling whatever that iman he has and throwing away whatever has been given to him. So the cure is that he fixes this problem immediately, refers to those who are qualified in these fields, and corrects his thinking process. And the second thing which we have to put aside to get ilm, knowledge on board, is jahl. Jahl is ignorance. Again, jahl is of various categories. Inshallah, we'll touch that also. One of that is jahl, that I don't know something. If I don't know something, I have to know, I have to learn, and I have to clear that so that things are understood. There is a hadith from Rasulullah. He says that six groups will enter the fire without being questioned for six things. And then he says that among them are these nomads, or the dwellers of lands wherein no alim, no ahli ilm existed, and they died living in that ignorance. Say that these people will be put into fire without being questioned. Why? Because they did not make an effort. They did not go after an alim. They did not go after to learn. So hikmat, which is wisdom, which is knowledge, to get that on board, we have to put these doubts aside so that the thinking power, it is strengthened. We have to put this jahl aside so that knowledge takes its place. So all this is happening in this human body which Allah has created. Ilm, it is praised. It is very important. So much of emphasis has been given to ilm in Quran. For example, says that innama yakhsha Allah min ibadihi al-ulama, that those of his servants who possess knowledge are those who fear. That is, the ulama, they are those who have that knowledge and they fear. Or sometimes says that hal yastawil ladina ya'lamuna wal ladina la ya'lamuna, that someone who knows and someone who does not know, are they equal? They're not equal. So someone who knows, he is great. Or example, again in another place in Quran says that وَتِلْكَ الْأَمْثَالِ نَذَرِبُهَا لِلنَّاسِ وَمَا يَعْقِلُهَا إِلَّا الْعَالِمُونَ, and these examples we set them forth for men and none understand but the learned. That is, a person who possesses ilm, he is dignified. And to someone who Allah, now when we say ilm, it's that hikmat. Hikmat means wisdom, hikmat means ilm, hikmat means, in Quran you find the two terms that have been used, وَمَنْ يُؤْتِ الْحِكْمَةَ فَقَدْ أُوْتِيَ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا, and to whom this wisdom has been granted, that this knowledge has been granted, to him has been given a lot of good, great good from Allah. In a hadith from the Holy Prophet, he says that ulama warathatul anbiya, that the ulama, they are the inheritors of the prophets. The task assigned to them is the task of the prophet. Now to understand this in simple words, marhum Allama Tabatabai, the author of Tafsir al-Mizan, he says that I was afflicted with problems, and then he has a tawassul with the Imam of time. And then, in a communication, Imam gives him a message. Says that, I have never left you stranded. And then says that for the past, he has a number of years that was mentioned, which I don't remember now, don't recall it now. For example, I've been taking care of you, looking after you, I have never left you stranded for the past 21 years, for example. And then he says that, why did Imam say 21 years? And starts calculating, for example, his age at that time was 50, for example. He says that if it's 50, then why did he say 21? And then he says that starts calculating, because Imam, when he says 21, it should be precise. There should be something which is there in that 21. And he says that, was it that time when I started to study? It isn't 21. When I first went to Maktab, it is not 21. When I first went to Najaf, not 21. And then starts calculating and then says, the day he wore the amama, the turban, it's the day from that time to this time, it's for example 21 years. Says that it is that dress of that imam which was worn by that individual, says that from that moment there was a special eye of mine, a special sight, and to you for that. So ilm, it has that great dignity, and looking at an alim, who is Rabbani, who is Ilahi, who belongs to, who is divine, says that it is better than freeing 1,000 slaves, Ma'asum says. And elsewhere says that a gathering wherein people get together to learn is better than 1,000 nights of worship. In each night, 1,000 raka'at of prayers are being offered. Again, that one, for example, this one meeting that we have, which lasts for about 40 minutes, says this is better than 1,000 nights of worship. Each night, 1,000 raka'at of prayers are offered. And again says better than 4,000 jihads in the way of Allah. Better than the recitation of 12,000 Qur'ans, the recitation of the whole Qur'an, from Juz 1 to 30, 12,000 times in each night. And worship of a year wherein each day you've been fasting. Why? Because of that ilm. Because of that awareness and ma'rifah which is being increased by an individual. Because when that wisdom and that ilm takes place in the mind of an individual, jahl is pushed away. When ilm takes place, then a person becomes a better servant of Allah. Reduces the distance between him and his Lord, and that qurb, the nearness of Allah, is sought, which is the ultimate aim. That is, ma khalaqtu al-jinn wal-ins illa liya'budun, that man and jinn have been created for the sake of worship and servitude, and that is to reduce the distance between them and their Lord. And then says that one who comes out of his house just to learn one mas'ala, one issue, Allah registers the reward of a prophet for every stop, for every step he steps forward. Now, for example, if you take into consideration Prophet Musa, he lived for an X amount of time, served for an X duration of time. Now, if Allah was to reward him and pay him, if he counted in dollars, for example, if he deserved, for example, $1 billion, over here says that someone who has intended to come to a majlis to learn, a gathering to learn, Allah says, I will give him the reward of a prophet, for example, that $1 billion that we talked about. That will be given to him, and in addition to that, for every step he puts forward from his home to his destination, if it's from Plano to here, or it's from whatever, Carrollton to here, how many miles, count the steps, for every step he puts forward from his home, a reward of 1,000 shuhada of Badr. The shuhada of Badr are the top-notch shuhada who ever existed in this creation. Says not those 313, but for each step, the reward of the Prophet services plus 1,000 shuhada of Badr for every word he learns, for every word. Or he writes, then he says that a city in the paradise will be given for each step which he steps forward to get into a majlis to learn and to increase his level of awareness and ma'rifah. Or a student, a seeker of knowledge. Allah loves him, the prophets, they love him. And it's the prosperous, the sa'id that love and. If you look into the du'as that we have for the sacred month of Ramadan, especially the ones which start from the 19th until the last day, we have this phrase which says that Allahumma ktubni fi su'ada wamhuni min al-ashqiya, for example. It says that, oh God, enlist me, write my name in the su'ada. Su'ada are the prosperous. Ashqiya are those who have done wrong on themselves, who have done wrong, who've been evil. That is, wipe my name from the wrongdoers and put my name, register and record my name in the prosperous and those who are successful. Elsewhere, Amir al-Mu'mineen, he says that if a mu'min dies leaving behind a note, just one note, not a book, not a paper, just a note with an issue. Now, from that one issue which he has left behind, someone learns and his ma'rifah, his knowledge is increased. Imam says that that one note will hinder between him, will become a barrier between him and the fire, that is the fire of Jahannam. And then says, for each one letter from that note, for example, if that was a sentence which is, for example, 100 letters or 50 letter sentence. From that 50-letter sentence, Imam says that for each letter, Allah will bless him a city. The size of the city, it is 7 times larger than this earth. He will be blessed in the paradise. Why is all that emphasis important? It is for that ilm. That is, we acquire so that that jahl is put away, so that that distance between us and Allah is lessened, and that qurb, which is the nearness of Allah, is sought, which is the ultimate aim, and which is the old goal that we are after. وَسُبْحَانَ رَبِّكَ رَبِّ الْعِزَّةِ أَمَّا يَصِفُونَ وَسَلَامٌ عَلَى الْمُرْسَلِينَ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. From all those who have requested for dua, for all those who are in an ailing, on these nights, for all those who have passed away to elevate their ranks, and from the sponsors of Iftar of tonight, present Mu'mineen over here, those who couldn't come here, absent from this majlis, for each one of them, 3 loud salawats.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala
Thank you, Maulana. Brothers, we are going to start with the Dua Iftitah. Can move from Hall A.